I'm going to encourage you now. Let's get our Bibles open and let's start in Deuteronomy. We're going to go to two different places in Scripture. We'll start in Deuteronomy and we'll flip forward to make sure I'm going to tell you the right information here. 2 Chronicles. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, there is a story here, getting back to this idea of when something happens, then there's a result of it. What does that look like for us? And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is leading God's people out of bondage and slavery, and he's looking to the promised land, and he wants to make a statement here. He probably has a sense that he might not lead God's people to the promised lands, so he wants to start paving a foundation so of an understanding that God's people would understand a principle that's very important for them. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 says this. Here's that word again, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build. Verse 11, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, something needs to happen. Because I feel like when you get saved, when you give your heart to Christ, you're provided with all of these things. All of a sudden, your life drastically changes. There's this transformation that happens. There's this yoke, there's this heaviness that is lifted off of you, and you're like, praise God, look at all these great things. But then something happens. There's this kind of ebb and flow in life when, you know, good things are happening. All of a sudden, then something else happens, and we'll see it here so clearly. He's trying to encourage them and teach them this thing. Verse 12, be careful that you don't forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Don't forget. When these good things happen, remember who gave them to you. Don't ever forget that when this happens, then in response, you should say, thank you, Jesus. There's nobody else to thank. You don't pat yourself on the back. I mean, we do that to encourage each other, but honestly, don't do that. There's only one person that needs to be patting you on the back, or you should be patting their back, and that's Jesus Christ. He saved you. He set you free. He gave you everything that's good in life. If there's anything good, there's only one person to go thank you for. You didn't do it on your own. You're not here because of your own efforts or your own agendas. It's because God died on the cross and he set you free and he gave you a firm foundation and he gave you all these things. I love when it says this, that you did not plant, that you did not dig, that you did not build yourself. God gave that to you. He did all that for you. He plowed the ground, he built the building, and he gave it all to you for free. That's something to be so thankful for. Let's never, ever, as a church, forget that. I think it's important that collectively as a church, we remember that. That it's not just an individual thing. Well, the pastoral team, or that's for the leadership team, or that's for the prayer team. They do those kind of things. It's an individual, personal, collective, let's do this together so that as a church, I'm going to show you here at the end, as a church, we get filled up with God's presence. The more that you and I collectively do that, then the results will be better and better every time. This is not an individual effort. This is a team effort. It's so good. Let me tell you about an individual effort that totally went sideways. When I did this thing, something brutal happened. So last week, we're in the fireside room, and we're having a meeting, and I thought, hey, we got this fireplace here. I've lit it up a few times throughout the winter. I thought, let's fire this thing up. We'll have a nice, warm gathering around the fireplace. Well, Will had just come back from holidays, and he was joining me there, and he's watching me like a fool trying to start this fire. I'm thinking, I've lived in the north almost my whole life. How can I not get a fire going in this fireplace? It's kind of smoldering and smoking, and smoke is just coming into the fireside room. I said, we're getting a real northern experience now. He's like, so anyways, we finally get this thing going, and we're having a good time, and all of a sudden, about an hour later, this black smoke starts billowing out a little bit of the top. I'm thinking, oh no, what's going on now? And the fire is blazing. The stove is burning hot. There's nothing to do besides watch it. Like, you can't be, you know, open a window, like whatever. It's going whether you want it to go or not. And I find that in our lives is the same way sometimes. We think, oh, look at this nice roasty fire in life, or things are going well, and you're thinking you've done the right things. If I chop wood and put it in a fire and put fire to it, it should be warm and snuggly. But the result was not warm and snuggly. It was like, oh my gosh, the alarm's going to go off. The fire department's coming. We've got people coming here. There's burning black smoke things. Like, this is not good. Like, open every window. It's not the result I wanted. But I couldn't stop it. And I think in life, sometimes we do that. We think, if I do this thing, I should get this good result. And sometimes we don't get that good result. And we, what the heck? What's going on here? And you kind of freak out. Right? Because it's not what you had planned. But you can't stop that motion happening. And sometimes we get our eyes off of God. God has done wonderful things. And we let the things of this world distract us, take away our joy. All the things of this world are trying to just steal your attention away from God. And we can get so wrapped up in that so easily. I think it's so important that we remember, we get back to the things of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles here, as we're reading through this, we're going to flip there now, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. We're reading through King Solomon. And something happens to him as well, where he's kind of like, I don't want to forget. And so if you think about King Solomon's father, David, wonderful guy, got all the articles for building God's temple. Blueprint, all the gold, all the cedar, everything he needed to build God's temple. David really wanted to build God's temple, but God said, no. We talked about this a few weeks ago. You're not to build my temple. Your son will build my temple. So Solomon gets, you know, out of babyhood and gets raised up and inherits all of that. It's almost like what we just read as well. You inherit all those good things, but then what do you do with it? And Solomon here, because he's so full of wisdom, again, we're not sure how he ended his life, but we sure know in these moments that God's given him wisdom. And he begins to pray to God, and he says certain things here. And if you were to read it, there are so many when and then in this pieces, in this chapter of chapter 6. It's just unbelievable. When I was reading it, I thought, holy smokes, I got to pay attention here. So let me just share three of them with you, and we'll give you some, we'll break it down a little bit. So 2 Corinthians, or Chronicles, chapter 6, verse 24, it says this. Again, the first word is when. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back and confess your name, praying and making supplication before you in the temple, then, when this happens, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave them to them and their fathers. So Solomon, with all the wisdom, knows this is going to be a great temple. I mean, Solomon's probably the richest person that has ever lived or will ever live, full of wisdom. He builds a temple to God, and you think, everything's great. David kicked everybody's butt. The kingdom's awesome. They've got all the furnishings. The God's temple is here. And then Solomon, all his wisdom, says, though, when people turn their back on you, not if, but when your people sin against you, don't forget them. When they turn back to you, don't forget and bring us back into the land. Bring us back into prosperity. Bring us back into relationship with you. See, the most important thing is when something happens, then what are you going to do about it? Where are you going to turn? There's so many things that we could turn to, isn't there? There's only one right thing that we need to turn to. All these whens are happening in your life. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when they happen. What do you do? How do you respond? And Solomon says, bring them back. Hear their prayers, Lord. The second one here is in verse 26, just a couple more verses down. Again, it says this, when, there's that first word. When the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because the people have sinned against you, and when they pray towards this place, this temple, and confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. I want to have some fun with this thought here just for a second, just share a bit of a story with you. It hasn't happened, and I encourage you that it might happen, and you might be able to do it. Depends on when Jesus. If Jesus comes a second time, and he takes us away, really what we'll be doing is, because we've confessed our faith in Christ, we'll receive an eternal reward, an eternal destination. We're going to go to heaven. So we leave. People that don't want to give their lives to Christ, they don't want to bow a knee to Christ, they don't want to receive an eternal reward, what they will receive is what they want, earthly possessions, earthly rewards. That they see, they can't give those up. You can't give up the earthly possessions to inherit an eternal destination. So they'll be left with earthly possessions because we'll be gone. So I want to encourage you with this thought. Invite your unsaved friends over and your unsaved neighbors over and show them your house. Say, and because this is what happens. When Jesus comes a second time, you're gone. Then people will inherit everything else that's here that you left behind. So you invite them over. Show them your house. Say, hey, I got this beautiful house. You might want it. When I'm gone, this is what's going to happen. They're going to think you're crazy. It'll be awesome. I'll pray for you. And you say, it's all yours. And let me show you how to work the stove because it's a little bit finicky. And let me show you how to work my, you know, my mower or whatever the heck you got in your house, all your toys. Show, because they're all quirky, right? You know, everyone's got quirkiness about their house. You got to put your key a certain way and, you know, get in the house. And you just say, oh, the spare key's over there because you want to get in the house. You don't want to break a window. It's your house now. You wouldn't do that. Don't trash your house. But I'm being silly, but it's serious, right? When Christ comes, we have something to look forward to. Those people will be scared because they're going to only inherit what's left behind. When Christ comes, that's the kind of things we get to look forward to. When we do this, we should get this kind of result. In life, when we're doing things, we're expecting a good result. I wouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to do this thing and hopefully it all goes sideways and everything just goes to pot, right? Like, you wouldn't think that way. You're constantly thinking, like, well, if I'm going to put my foot forward, I want some good result. If I'm going to make an effort, I'm going to invest some time and some money, I'm expecting a good result. But sometimes it doesn't play out that way. What does that mean? You know, in a sense of, well, I put my foot forward, I was expecting this, and so I should be better off. But what does that really mean, better off? Like, better off than what? Like, better off financially? Better off, like, you should be smarter? Better off, like, the kind of vehicle you drive? Like, what does better off really mean? Because God needs every person to live in every part of every community, in every workplace environment. We need people that are very educated with letters after their last name. We need people that are just, you know, in labor workforce. We need people. I mean, you just need to be everywhere. So there is no better off because God has you exactly where you want. I think sometimes do we have a pecking order? I mean, oh, that person's a little better, or that person, you know, did better, made better decisions, or I wish I could, or I don't see that in God's economy. God created you. Oh, you got to understand this. With a plan and a purpose, he made you unique the way you are. We're all unique. I mean, unique is like, I want to be great, not unique. You know, unique sounds a little bit like kind of broad spectrum. But personally, you're not like good friends of mine. And Pastor Ben and I were talking about some good friends of ours. They're super hilarious. Like when they preach, you're dying, you're crying. It's just hilarious. You're just great communicators. Because he wanted them like that. He doesn't want Pastor Ben and I like that. We're different in our own ways. The same is for you. When you go to your workplace, you're going to be a little bit different, a little bit unique, because that's who you are. Don't fight it. And wherever God has you, don't fight that either. Oh, I wish I could be in this other position. Or I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for the day for that promotion to come. Until then, this is a waste of my time, right? You're making nickels over here. Don't waste it. God has you there for a reason. When you are promoted, when you get all these things, it's where he wants you. You're always to be thankful. You're always to say, well, then God, I'm going to just thank you for whatever I have, no matter what it looks like. There's a purpose and a reason for that. Okay, third point here, verse 28 here. It says, when famine or plague comes to the land, or blight, which means like a disease, or mildew, or locusts, or grasshoppers, or even enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever disaster may come, and when a prayer or plea is made by any of your people of Israel, each one aware of his afflictions and pains and spreading out his hands towards this temple. Verse 30, then God does this thing. Then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Forgive and deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart, for you alone know the hearts of men. When all of these difficult things come and we get our eyes on Jesus, then Jesus says here, it says God will forgive us. Isn't that just a wonderful thought? And it's for each person, I love that, that each one is aware of his pain and suffering, and then each one of us responds accordingly. Not just one, you know, we do need leaders, but we don't just like, oh, the leader will ask for forgiveness, the pastor will ask for forgiveness, care group leader or my ministry leader, they'll pray on my behalf. No, it says that every person is accountable, and that if we all get our hearts right with the Lord, then there'll be something different. Isn't that just a great thought? I believe that there was this message here for today. I know that it's a short message because we did communion, you know, it's prayer time, all that kind of fun stuff. But there's this point I want to make here with the last scripture in just a moment, is that this message is for each person collectively. And I want to encourage us. I always kind of get ideas in my head. I was visualizing, like saying to us, like when we do the salvation prayer, usually I'm like, okay, let's everybody say the salvation prayer so we don't make anyone feel uncomfortable. I envision something. Let's raise our hands, you know, if you want to receive something, or let's, you know, if you want to stand up, then we'll pray for you. But we're just all going to stand in a moment, and we'll just all really, in a sense, be connecting and confessing, God, we need help. Because I think this message shows us things like this. When life happens and we don't get the results we want, we've got to worship Jesus. We got to say, God, I need help in this area. God, I need freedom in this area. God, I can't do this on my own. God, would you help my family? Would you help me personally? Would you help me in my workplace? Whatever that looks like. The then is so important, because whens are going to happen forever. Until the day you die, things are going to come at you, and results that you don't want are going to come at you. But what are we going to do about it as a church? And I want to teach us this moment. All our lives, let's never forget this, that we had that moment to just turn. All these people you read there, they said, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. We've lost our homes. There's no rain. What are we going to do? They would turn to the temple. They would turn to God. They would say, God, help us. They wouldn't turn anywhere else. Isn't that just a great thought? They turned to their own knowledge. They turned to Solomon. Oh, Solomon, you have so much wisdom. No, they turned to God. They said, God, they cried out to God. I love that idea. Because they might be frustrated. Honestly, there's points in my life where it's just frustrating, thinking, and just like, let's be super transparent, I'll have some fun with you. Like, I wake up in the morning and I do my devotions, I take my kids to school, I come here to the church, there's a gym downstairs, I work out, I don't eat, I'm just being transparent, but I don't know why I tell you all these kind of things. I don't eat processed food, I don't eat that kind of stuff, I eat veggie smoothies, I try and be so healthy, and then the result I get is my thyroid is all jacked up. Like, what the heck? Like, that's not the result I was looking for. I was at home last week, you know, remember that ice rain that came? I don't know how your driveway is. For many of you, I know that you did a great job. You got all that ice off. I'm still fighting that. So it's getting close to the end of my driveway, and I get the chipper out every so often, the ice. And it's such a big step. It's like a step up, you know, driveway, nice, and then ice. And so I'm chipping away and not paying attention. All of a sudden, I step off. Oh, my ankle, son of a... I tell you, snow was just flying out of my driveway, stupid snow, you know, it's just like a snowblower is coming out of there. I was just frustrated, I think, just shovel, you know, like, and I just thought, God, I do all these things and my ankle's still weak, what the heck? You know, like, I'm shoveling a driveway so my family can, you know, not slip on ice, so when my neighbors come over and they kind of drop something off, they won't slip on the ice. I'm doing this for all of them, and my ankle, what? This is a terrible result. I'm sick of this, right? Because in life, it just happens. This is the result that we get sometimes. But we can't lose focus. Don't let those things tear you apart. God loves you so much. Don't get so distracted by these things. Don't let them eat you. There's so much worry. There's so much pressure, so much financial pressure, so much mental pressure. You know, we're all hiding behind things, and there's so much going on in life. Let's not lose our focus. I really want our church to just be thinking about that as we move into 2022. Anything that comes at you, for sure call the church. We'd love to pray with you and love on you. But you can just, in the moment, you just turn Thank you, Jesus, you got a plan. Thank you, God, you're going to work this out. Thank you, God, that this is going to turn out better than it looks. Think about when we brought the missionary here. We're just praying for our missionaries. Remember Kevin and Julia Garrett? They were in China. You know, they went there. They went with this idea that if we go to China, because God's called us there, we'll be able to do all these great things for God. Isn't this wonderful? All of a sudden, they're in prison for 777 days. God, what the chickens is going on here? That's got to be the devil. This isn't from God. Right? And they end up in there, and they're leading some people to the Lord. They're leading some of the inmates to the Lord. God was using that situation. That's not the result they wanted. It's not the result I think any of us would want, but God used it. It's the same for you and I. You're never imprisoned. Even though they were in prison, they were not imprisoned in a spiritual sense. Nothing can imprison you. You're free in Jesus. I want us to understand that. Look at how this thing ends off. So brilliant. Oh, thank you, God, for your word. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says this. Again, there's this when and then idea. When Solomon finished praying, it says that fire came down, but then, right? When he finished praying, then this thing happened. Then the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple in Jesus' name. Isn't that brilliant? Why did the presence of God fill the temple? Because they turned to their God. They didn't turn to anything else. They prayed to God. Solomon raised his hand. He said, oh, Jesus, we need help. God, we need help. And then the glory came. The Holy Spirit came and filled and took care of every need. That's what we're praying for this morning. I want to encourage us now, let's stand to our feet. Those that are watching online, there's lots of distractions, all these kind of things going on. Maybe there's some unsaved people in your house. Who cares? Stand up anyways. You're part of our church. We love you guys. So let's just do this together as a church. So my mic's on. I'm going to ask Will to turn me down just a little bit here in a second. But I want us to confess whatever it is. Maybe it's a confession of some sin or there's some frustration. Maybe it's a confession of, God, I just don't even understand. I do all these things, God, and the results are terrible. I don't understand that. Then confess that to God. Say, God, I need some wisdom in that. Show me. Whatever it is, just feel led. I'm going to be praying for my family who doesn't know Christ. I'm going to be praying for my thyroid, my ankle, all those kind of things. But whatever it is, let's just, you know, if you want to do it in your head, that's cool. If you want to do it out loud, that's awesome. If you want to just, you know, be praying for somebody else that's standing up, all those kind of things. I can see the balcony just from, maybe you're standing up on the balcony. I just can't even tell if you're standing up or not. But either way, let's just take this moment now. Let's just spend a few minutes in prayer and confession to God. So Lord, thank you for this time that we've had together. Lord, thank you for your word that teaches us so well. Lord, just as a church, we want to confess our need for you, Father. Lord, I just pray that each one of us would be humbled. Each one of us would confess to you every single day, Lord. We need you all the time. Lord, for family members and neighbors that don't know you, help us to be obedient to what and how you want to use us. Lord, we thank you that you'll give us words to speak into their lives. Father, physical bodies. Oh, my physical body is driving me crazy, Lord. I don't understand it, but I give it to you, Lord. You know how it works, and you know what it needs, so I trust you with that. Lord, as we move forward with this church in this year, in this season, and Pastor Ben and I working together, Lord, you have an agenda. This is your church, and we surrender it to you, Lord. Lead and guide us in Jesus' name. Lord, as we approach this AGM with possible new board members and new visions and ideas and agenda, you know, where we're headed, Lord, we just thank you that this has nothing to do with us, but this is you. You've been so faithful for 87 years. It's going to be another good year, Father. So we thank you in advance for that. Lord, any sickness or ailment in this church body, Father, we just lift that up to you, Father. We just ask for your healing touch. Lord, we're just so grateful. You've been so faithful. We have so many testimonies and stories of your healing touch. So we pray that again for our people, whether it's a physical healing, whether it's a mental healing, whether it's an emotional healing. Lord, we just ask for that in Jesus' name. Collectively, we're wrestling through that together. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we're standing because we want to be in right standing with you. We want to be on a good foundation. We don't want to be on our own ideas and our own foundations. We want to be on a foundation that is found in Jesus. So God, thank you again for this time. Thank you for your church in Jesus' name. Amen.